Welcome to another exclusive podcast from SearchSAP.com. I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer, and I'm here with John Franke, news editor for SearchSAP. John, what are we talking about in this podcast?
Well, we're going to discuss SAP's plan for Enterprise Services Architecture, or ESA, and in general, service-oriented architectures, or SOAs, a very hot topic these days. At SAP's Analyst Summit, Henning Kagerman, SAP's CEO, dedicated a lot of time to that subject, saying, among other things, that Enterprise SOA is available today from SAP, and that in 2007, Enterprise SOA is proven, it's riskless, it's there. And we'll also touch on the SAP jobs market.
So today we're talking to Scott Campbell, SAP Practice Manager with Momentum SI, a consulting organization specializing in service-oriented architecture, integration, and application development. Scott leads Momentum SI's SAP NetWeaver integration practice, which helps organizations plan for SAP's ESA roadmap, leverage NetWeaver tools to build process-driven composite applications, and mentors developers in working in a web services and SOA-based environment. Scott is also the co-author of the new book, Mastering Enterprise SOA with SAP NetWeaver and My SAP ERP. The book was released in October of 2006 and provides an introduction and overview for technology professionals who need to understand, assess, evaluate, and adopt this new approach to integration. It explores the fundamentals of Enterprise SOA, identifies the main considerations for successful organizational deployments, and reviews the many relevant tools and technologies in SAP NetWeaver. Thank you for talking with us today, Scott.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's set the context. You say many IT organizations are not taking full advantage of the opportunities that Enterprise SOA may offer them. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's probably a combination of reasons. I think first and foremost, there's just a lack of understanding about all the moving parts. The change to Enterprise SOA goes beyond just adopting new technologies like NetWeaver. It fundamentally changes how you do things within IT from a process perspective, and ultimately the relationship between IT and the business. And so as you can imagine, it takes work to align the organization and to establish a compelling roadmap for SOA. I think the other thing is people are still waiting on vendors, including SAP, to deliver on the final pieces of their business process platforms and the componentry needed to pull all this together. So the bottom line is it's a hard problem to solve, and it's not under any one person's traditional scope. So it takes real leadership to get this moving from a strategic perspective.
Your book contends that the real value of Enterprise SOA comes from the level of reuse of governed services and not from the sheer number of services created and used. Can you explain this further?
Sure. The amount of reuse of a service is definitely one of the many value propositions that come from Enterprise SOA. And the basic idea is that payback comes from reuse because it takes a lot more time and effort to develop a good reusable service than it does to basically integrate things in the same manner as we do today. So creating a bunch of services that don't get reused in a broader context just ends up not making a lot of sense. You can leverage an existing service, and what that leads to is reduced time and expense across everything from the business problem analysis through integration, testing, deployment issues, less maintenance, and so on. And that can all add up to real savings. And so that's why the metric of clients using services is much more important than the number of services themselves. It really tells you how well and how often they're used, and that's an indication of value.
The book mentions that no two ESA roadmaps will ever be the same, but can you offer any best practices or guidance for developing roadmaps that are applicable to all organizations?
I'd say yes and no to that. We've been developing and defining some organizational patterns. You can almost think of them as segments, and then applying ideas and best practices within each segment, if you will. Without a doubt, the very first step to building a roadmap is figuring out how to put the concept of SOA into the context of your business and your organization. So, for example, an organization that is a very heterogeneous IT landscape is going to take a different path than one who might be consolidating more around the SAP infrastructure. Probably the biggest variable we've seen has to do with how organizations tackle the enterprise architecture function or how they budget and manage technology transitions like this. That can vary widely across many customers, some having very mature enterprise architecture teams, and others seem to really kind of federate the task with employees who tackle EA as part of their jobs. So there's a couple of major patterns. One is bottom-up, and we kind of refer to it as project-based, where you're looking at your IT portfolio and priorities as they exist and overlaying the value proposition of SOA into projects as you go along. And the second is really top-down, and that's companies that have more, I'd say, stronger enterprise architecture function or doing a big upgrade. And there they're taking on, first task, heavy focus on strategic business process and information modeling, master data management, which is one of the areas SAP recommends, and so on, of how they tackle SOA on an enterprise-wide program. So I'd also add that we probably are seeing these patterns vary significantly by industry.
What are some of those patterns that you're seeing by industry?
I'd say the top-down approach is definitely happening more consistently. We're seeing in financial services, industries like healthcare, where they've classically had much more heterogeneous environments and probably a lot more custom development. Traditional energy, utilities, manufacturing, maybe a little less so in terms of tackling things, I'd say more from a bottom-up approach.
Can you discuss this new term, applet structure, for our audience? It's a new term that our audience might not be familiar with. I'm not even sure I pronounced it right. The applet structure?
You did, and I'm not even sure that that's a term that's going to totally take hold, but there is no other term like it to explain the concept. I think BPP, or Business Process Platform, is a related term that Gartner has offered, and it talks about the same concept kind of from a functional perspective. So what SOA does is it breaks down the partitions that used to exist between applications, business applications like SAP, infrastructure platforms like operating systems and the network level, and the typical application middleware layers upon which applications were built, things like application servers, portals, the AI tools, and so on. So historically, those have been islands. And in SOA world, these things begin to form a more integrated stack. So the network can now be aware of the business context of the transactions flowing across it and respond to events, so for things like GRC, risk, governance, compliance, and those types of things. In the same way, the old enterprise application integration functions like transformation, orchestration, and routing and so forth can now be commoditized in the network, and even process models themselves can become digitized and tied to these solution configuration and orchestration engines. So the bottom line is really that the applet structure eliminates the boundaries between some of these levels and gives you a more tightly integrated set of technologies upon which you're building your business solutions through composition.
Ultimately, how long do you think it will take SOA to be the primary architectural approach employed by companies?
Well, easily a large enterprise could spend 5 to as many as 10 years adopting SOA, and I don't know that necessarily it'll ever become the primary architectural approach to be employed per se, but it's definitely a key IT theme that helps address good enterprise architecture practices. The other thing to consider is you're probably really never done with SOA. You may mature your capabilities and the concepts and your infrastructure, but the real win is evolving into establishing the processes that create harmony between IT and the business organization. And there's a bunch of related capabilities that go in with this adoption, like business process management, event-driven architectures, model-driven design and development, next-generation user interface designs, and so forth. So I'd almost say, John, that we win when the term SOA kind of fades into the background and we just get back to focusing on real enterprise architecture.
In your experience, do you find a large ripple effect in technology trends, or is it just a matter of preference?
Well, it's interesting in the SOA world to think about this question that I think some technology trends are very disruptive and that they enable you to do things that you couldn't do before. So, for example, client-server brought power of analytics and richer user interface experience to the desktop. The Internet opened up self-service opportunities in the B2B world in ways that you really couldn't do under EDI or sort of the pure private e-commerce networks. And SOA strikes me as something that is more of an enabler of faster, better business-aligned, and cheaper IT. And I think to the degree that people grasp that versus maybe the way it was able to let you tackle things that you couldn't do before, which I don't necessarily think is the case here, will drive that preference of the ripple effect.
Changing subjects a little bit, the book stresses the importance of building bridges between IT executives and business people within an organization for optimal architectural strategy. Why do business people need to be involved in technology projects?
Well, the obvious answer is that in some cases, I think people forget IT is there to serve the business. In just about every organization, with the exceptions of a few, there's no other reason for it. And while there's been much progress in IT capabilities over the years, I still think that the IT organization struggles mightily in really connecting a technology innovation and being able to articulate it as possibilities back to the business. So you can think of SOA as just one element of a framework that can help better align IT supply with IT demand, and that absolutely is going to take good communication between the leadership in both functions.
And just to kind of follow up a little bit on your point, what do you think are some of the best ways to create these bridges between IT and business?
Well, without a doubt, having both business-savvy people in IT and IT-savvy people on the business side who communicate well is key to crafting a good vision. In fact, SAP has actually started a community catering to that latter, the IT-savvy business people, which it's referring to as business process experts. And it's about finding real champions in the business that can see and see opportunities that a technology trend offers. And a lot of times that comes from having counterparts within IT who can also prime the pump, if you will, with ideas and suggestions of how to take a concept like SOA or BPM and really explain where and how it can help the organization make or save money. Business people, I found, are not always able to articulate what's broken or how to make things better, so the world needs those IT people who can put the capabilities into a clear context and kind of chop out all the technical jargon. I'd say, without a doubt, if you don't have people like this, go find them and get them in your organization.
That makes sense and actually leads us very nicely on to our final question. Our Search SAP audience is always interested in the job market. What is your outlook on SAP jobs in general? And also, if you have any advice for how SAP professionals can best progress from the R3 environment to NetWeaver?
Sure. I'd say I think people are seeing they can be very bullish on the near-term outlook of the SAP job market. Just the sheer number of upgrades and new implementations around the new platform is going to drive a lot of initiatives. And I think a lot of people had moved out of the SAP market for a while, and that reduced the talent pool to begin with. And plus, the NetWeaver technologies are so new, there's just a shortage of people that know them, but that's changing. The biggest problem I find as people move to the NetWeaver environment and enterprise SOA from backgrounds in the SAP space is that, by and large, I think historically they may have grown their careers by being very narrow specialists, and the people that are going to be able to cross those capability boundaries within the NetWeaver platform are going to do the best. And today it's still very hard, but getting easier, to need less people who have a greater degree of breadth to create any one solution. So again, I'd say probably people with a breadth of technical skills and really understand these concepts and can apply many tools are going to do well. Anyone that really can grasp this notion of model-driven development and solution architectures will be doing well in the future. I've talked about the notion of the business process expert and people that can bridge the gap from an IT and business perspective. And lastly, without a doubt, anyone from an architecture perspective, whether it's from enterprise architecture or solution architecture, there's so many key choices that need to be made in adopting enterprise SOA. There's going to be value for those folks for a long time.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us today, Scott.
Oh, my pleasure again.
And the book Mastering Enterprise SOA with SAP NetWeaver and My SAP ERP by Momentum SI's Scott Campbell and Vamsi Mohan is available now at major book retailers. To reach Scott or learn more about Momentum SI, visit their website at MomentumSI.com.
And remember that you can visit Search SAP for news, views, tips, and expert analysis on everything SAP. If you're interested in SOA, check out the page where you downloaded this podcast for links to related articles.
That wraps up this exclusive Search SAP podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer.
And I'm John Franke, news editor. Thank you for listening.